Good morning. Welcome to Eagles Way Church. Glad you're here this morning. Had a big weekend. I wanted to plug this week too, as well as if you're not joining us on the first Wednesdays, it's an incredible experience. It's about like this, but it's a little more personal, just a little different. And I would just encourage you to come if you can on the first Wednesday of every month. It's a great time. Had the yard sale yesterday, and I think things went well. The chicken queue, everything went good, and I got talked into buying a drum set for my son. My son's four, if you don't know Braxton, and it was kind of, I didn't really want to do it, but I did it. And I got home, and he was beating on him. My ears were hurting, and I thought, well, this brought it up, is he said, "Dad, I'm like Craig." And he was talking about Greg. And I was like, yeah, and he kept saying it. And he kept saying it over and over. I'm like Greg, Dad. But, this came up Wednesday. And just the leadership in this church that we have here. And Buren and Will and all the other leaders. And when I thought about it with my kids, when you got Brian and you got all these guys back here. Just what a great team we have. And the love that we have for one another is just great. If you guys just want to stand and we'll begin to worship.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Oh, praise the one. thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your sacrifice, your selflessness on the cross, God. You gave your all regardless of us, regardless of our sins, Lord. You loved us. We thank you, Jesus.
Burns for all to see.
waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. It's interesting to me. He turned to me. It means he was already there. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord. Lord, we thank you so much that you have lifted us out of despair, that you have heard our cry, that you have given us what we need to sing a new song to you, God. thank you so much for this time to come and worship you. And thank you for filling our hearts so that we can go out and glorify you and love on one another, God. We thank you that your fire burns bright through us, God. Help us every moment to be selfless in those times. We thank you and we love you, God. Amen. You can be seated.
Softball team, if you're here, have you played softball this year at all? Because I know somebody played a game or two. And then stand up real quick. You in here? We got any softball players in here? Now, one of the requirements for softball team is that you have to go to church. They make me so. Okay, you can sit down. Second place they did this year. Give them a big hand. They make me sign off on a piece of paper saying, yeah, they attend. At least during softball season. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we want to welcome you and thank you for being here. We shared on Wednesday night with our members the importance of this connection card. So if you've got one of those and if you've got a bulletin, there's one in your bulletin. If you'll take that out and fill that out. If we have all of your pertinent information, you don't have to fill it all out again. Just put your name and then you can, on the back, if you want to communicate with us in any form or fashion, whether it's a prayer request, we have, as of today, discontinued sign-up sheets in the foyer. I know, it's a scary thought. Especially for those that are in charge of volunteers for Rushton Hope and different things are going, you did what? We are now going to be using this card for you to sign up. So if you are willing to volunteer for any of the outreaches that we do, I want to say thank you to all that were here for the yard sale and chicken queue yesterday. It was very successful, and the children's play games that were going on, they had a big time. So we'll be getting you a report on how well we did with all of that. But when the offering bucket comes by at the end of the service, you can drop that off in there, and I appreciate that. Let me grab my stuff. Well, I missed the chicken queue and yard sale. When I say missed, Jennifer had surgery on Friday morning, sinus surgery, the second one she's had in 2 years, and she is doing much better. She's not completely out of pain yet, but we are anticipating that taking place. And I don't even think I got a single phone call about where's this or what's that or anything about yard sale chicken queue. People just kind of handled it and did it. I did get one call from someone, didn't know I wasn't going to be there, so no problems with that in any way. Relational wholeness. What a topic. What does that mean? How can you be relationally whole, complete, lacking nothing? If you're whole, you lack nothing. Some of you are going, I've got that in this area. You can have it in every area. Relational wholeness, we're going to be talking about several different type of topics that go along that, whether it's marriage or parenting, your wholeness with your children, relational wholeness with God. I'm going to give an overview. Pastor Buren has asked us to share our hearts. You are what you are because of what's been put into you. True? Agree with that? You've heard the term, you are what you eat. So if you eat healthy and good, you're probably healthy and good. If you don't eat healthy, then you may not be as healthy. But all kinds of things are put into you since you have been born. I want to take time and thank my parents for what they have put and instilled inside of me. Because I am a lot of who I am because of what they've put into me. Now, you may not know it, but I have the greatest parents in the whole wide world. And you may also or you may not have. That is possible too. But there are other things that have been taking place and gone on in your life besides just your parents. But thank you for what you've imparted and instilled into me. And thinking about relational wholeness, I had to think about my ministry. I had to think about my family. I had to think about my life. I've had the opportunity to serve and be here at Eagles Way Church for over 26 years now. And I have to say thank you to this church for what you've instilled and put into me. You know, as I look around the room, there's some that are missing. Pastor Buren and his family had a wedding yesterday down in Callaway Gardens. Dr. Tackle got married. But I see individuals that have inputted into my life, that have been mentors of mine. Whether it was my dad or Mike Oliver, there's been a couple of pastors that have had some input. Jim Lewis, he doesn't know it, but he's one of my mentors. Somebody that I look to, ask questions. Pastor Buren. Not only is he one of my mentors, he's become my best friend. Input into me. Because what is inside is what's going to come out. The topic that I'm going to be talking about today is communication. Your communication in relational wholeness. So as I was thinking about this and working on this, you know, I got to thinking about premarital counseling that I do. And Brian and Sheena were the ones that I had just finished with. And they, if y'all don't know it, they married last week and been on their honeymoon and back. And he and the youth are up in the youth department, in the youth building, having their first of the summer for sure of youth meetings. So they are going on simultaneous while we are going on in here. Some of you may not know the reason for that, but the summer, Wednesday night summers have been very slim over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. Back when Mike T was doing, he was going, I can't stand the summer. I can't get kids here. So one of the reasons for our change to the Sunday mornings with the youth is because of that. But in this premarital counseling that we did, 3 points that I cover that I think are so important. One is communication, one is finances, and one is fidelity. And of those three, the most important of those is communication. Because you have to use communication in the other two in order to talk about it and to work through it. So learning how to communicate. And so I got to thinking about, you know, Sunday morning message when I get up here, you know, how many of us are so grateful for Pastor Buren and the way that he communicates with us? Big love. You get his honesty. You get him. You get the Word of God that he studied hard for. But there's a difference between communicating a thought and having intimate communication. When I'm up here, the way I've been trained and is I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say. I'm going to say what I need to say, and then I'm going to tell you what I just said to try to make sure that you got the thought that I was trying to get across. That isn't what you actually do when you're in communication with a person, though. When you're in communication with God, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a work employee or a child, there's different levels of communication that take place. I have found that being vulnerable or being open, being honest about feelings, is actually easier for me standing here than it is in a personal one-on-one relationship. See, I know because of the foundation that Pastor Buren has laid here at this church, that we're going to love and accept one another here. Right? We love and accept one another. We don't condone bad behaviors and sin and things like that, but we look for the good. We look for the God that is in people. And we know that they're on their journey with God, that God will deal with them and allow them to work through their forgiveness and things that you need. So I am on my own personal journey. I'm going to share with you just a little bit of that journey and my vulnerability. I am not the best communicator standing from a stage. I've worked on it over the years, started working with the youth so much, and it's a goal of mine to continue to get better. I've had Ken Mullis help me with some of those things. He'll point out some things when I'll speak, and he's been encouraging over the years, and you know, we'll say this time, you did much better that time, and things like that. So, but in that communication aspect of it, sharing my heart individually means that I have to be vulnerable. I have to let my guard down. I have to be willing to go beyond certain point to get to another level. So, what I did is I bought a book. How do you get to that next place? How do you get to that next stage? You have to learn. You have to understand. I've known I've needed to do something and work on that. So I bought a book. Now, Jennifer will end up watching this video, so she's going to find out about this, but you don't have to go and tell her this. The book, she doesn't know I'm reading this book. The book is by Les and Leslie Parrott, which is a great communicators, and it's called Love Talk. And I'll be honest with you, it was the motivation. Pastor Buren told me a couple of weeks ago that I would have the opportunity to speak this morning, and I was already in the process of reading this book, and so the communication topic was where I'm at in my life. And so I told him, you know, I would go in this vein. He said, okay, sounds great. I want you to do that. I'm only 3/4 of the way through the book. I'm not completed with the book. But the book has kicked me in the fanny. Big time. See, it talks about 3 levels of communication. There's the first level. It's called the grunt level. I thought that was kind of strange, but it is just merely giving a response. That's what I got from the title. How many of you just want to know that you're alive? I said something in the room. Just let me know you're here, that you heard me. This has to do with, how was your day? Fine. How was your day? Great. This is the grunt level. Saying what needs to be said because you're there. How many want to stay in the grunt level? No hands, please. Hopefully you're beyond just the grunt level. Second level. The journalist level. The journalist level. This level is where you get your facts and your opinions. How many know we have a new Triple Crown winner? American Pharoah, watched that yesterday. It was awesome. Those are facts and opinions. Everybody has an opinion of whether that horse was going to win or not win, and then whether it did or didn't, and all the facts that come with that. You talk about things that happened at church. You talk about things that happened at the yard sale. These are facts and opinions. The journalist level, you have to have facts and opinions. In a family, in order to make a family and a household run properly, there has to be, you do this, I do this, I picked up this, you're cooking dinner, I'm cleaning the clothes, I'll pick up the kids at wherever I got to be. You got to have the facts and opinions. can't stay on that level. You've got to go to the third level. The second level with facts and opinions is needed, but it lacks intimacy. It lacks sharing who you are. If you want to be relationally whole, you've got to work to get to the third level. The third level is called feelings level. In the feelings level, that's where you feel safe enough to share areas of weakness or feelings that may put you in a bad light. At the feelings level, you'll reveal your heart and speak your mind. Those two got to go hand in hand. Revealing your heart and speaking your mind, because you can speak your mind in the fact and opinion level, and you can speak your mind in the grunt level. But it's not going to be received well, because it's got to go hand in hand with revealing your heart. In this level, you will know you will be understood and accepted. So as I'm reading this book and I'm evaluating my life and I'm thinking about communicating, I'm going, man, I get up there on Sunday morning, I can put 3 points together and I can share this and I can preach this. And when Pastor Buren said, I want you to share your heart, what I have to do is I have to get up here and say, you know, I've been on level 3 at times, but I don't consistently stay on level 3 all the time. And I would dare say there's a lot of people in here that could be this very same way. Revealing your feelings, revealing your heart, putting yourself in a place in communication where you can receive input, where you can receive instruction, correction with individuals is not always the easiest. You're one of two types of people, everybody in this room. You either deal with problems aggressively or passively. How many passive problem dealers do I see? I got a few honest people out there. How many aggressive? Okay, take it head on. One of the things I like about this book, and I've gotten there, is there's an online type thing after you fill out, take this little, it's not a test because it's just evaluating your styles and your things. It gives you a printout then of what you can do to do things differently, how you can improve in these areas. But we all have fear factors in our life. Or let me put it this way. Let's put the Ralph twist on it. Instead of saying that we have fear factors, we all have areas that we feel safe in. And we need those things to happen, or more likely in this particular area, so that we do feel safe. Some of you feel more emotionally safe when you're in control of time. Think about that for a second. When you're in control of time. Some of you feel more emotionally safe when you feel like you're winning the approval of others. Some of you feel more emotionally safe when you're maintaining loyalty. Loyalty is huge to you. Some of you feel more emotionally safe when you're achieving quality standards. Everything is coming up to that level of where you need it to be, and there's quality there. If you're an aggressive problem solver, those of you that raised your hands just a minute ago, that you're an aggressive problem solver, more than likely you want to be in control of time. Because you want to get it done. You don't want it to take too long. You want to make sure that it happens. You can do it the quickest way that you can possibly get it done and move on to the next project so that you can solve that problem. If you need the approval of others, you'll influence with your feelings. Facts and opinions are important, but not as much to you. Because you want to gain that influence, you're going to use how you feel to share that and to influence others. If your safety need is loyalty, you're going to be resistant to change. You like things just to stay the same way, not having to move this direction or this direction. If your safety need is quality standards, you'll make decisions very cautiously. Now, what does all this have to do with relational wholeness, with communication? See, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, said this: "Go ye into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." The only way disciples are made is if you communicate. What kind of communicator are you? What level are you on? See, I am on a journey. One of the reasons that I'm wearing a shirt and slacks and a tie this morning, because I don't like to wear ties. I don't know if you all know that or not. I wear one every Super Bowl Sunday because I have a football tie. And usually when I get up in the morning, on Sunday mornings, now when I am speaking, I usually have a little more thought process to it, but a lot of times what I wear is dependent upon what I don't have to iron. And I enjoy being casual. I enjoyed that about this church, that you can dress up if you want to dress up, or you can be casual if you want to be casual. But I purposed this morning to wear this collared shirt, and actually before service I had the tie cinched up without it being buttoned, because it was a little tight to get it buttoned. I said, no, I need to button it. So I went all the way to the process of getting it buttoned and cinching the tie back up. Because I have purpose and I have chosen in my life that I am going to begin doing some things a little bit differently and out of the norm in order to see change. And if you want the relational wholeness, and there is an area of your life that you don't have relational wholeness, you are probably going to have to do something a little bit different than what you have been doing. Romans chapter 6 or 12 says that we have to change the way we think. We've been talking about that a good bit. We've been talking about the power of the positive thinking and how that works. But I can't continue to stay on level 2 of communication and expect to get to level 3. Whether it's with you, whether it's with Jennifer, whether it's with my children. By the way, raising adult children is, it's different. It's wonderful. We do not have the empty nest yet, but it kind of seems like it at times. Luke finds a place to stay usually about half the time. Which causes your life to change. Jennifer and I are not consumed with our children's activities as much as we used to be. Am I willing to open up and be vulnerable in our communication. Oh, yeah, I'm Pastor Will. I can do that. I can talk about this or I can talk about that. But I got to get down on that level. And I don't have to be Pastor Will with people in relationship. I have to just be Will. I have to be honest. I remember, and I don't know exactly why I'm going to tell you this story other than I think it fits. I've been married about 2 years, outside working in the yard. And one of the things my mom has said that she would change about raising me was that she had told me that being angry was wrong, or whether she actually used those words or not. That's what I got from it. And we now know that being angry is not wrong. It's what you do with that anger. So we were working in the yard, and we got in a fuss, and I got angry. And she said, "Are you mad?" And I said, "No." She said, "I think you're mad." I said, "I'm not." She started to say something else, and I took the broom, and I slammed it up against the side of the garage, and the head broke off, and it went flying across the yard. And I said, "I am not mad." Guess what? I was mad. Jennifer has been the greatest teacher of me being able to begin to identify my feelings and share those feelings. I would have never even been on level 3 at times had she not been there to help me walk through some of those things. But over the next 8 weeks, as we're talking about relational wholeness, what I want you to get from this morning's message is that you may have to do something a little bit different than what you've been doing if you want to get to where God wants you to be. I do. And I'm on that journey. And wherever you are on your journey, you have to be open to what God has for you. Some personal ministry was taking place Wednesday night. And I can't even remember right now who was being ministered over. They came down and the eldership was just praying for her, and Pastor Buren was encouraging her and prophesying. And I looked across the room and I saw somebody else in the room, and God gave me a word to share with that person. And happened to be that the next person that Buren said something to was that person, and I knew that I had to share that. And the essence of that word, not just for that person, but for people that are here, is God wants to take you through the things that He's got you in for you to learn and to move on for them, those things. But you have to be open to what God has for you. And even though you're going through these things, don't think of it as going around the mountain, going around the mountain, going around the mountain. Think of it as you are open to what God has for you, and God is teaching and training and leading you in these things. And as this church continues to prosper and to reach out and to grow and have an impact in this community and around the world, it will be because there is relational wholeness as the general rule. We are so blessed of the people that are here, the longevity of ministry, the core of folks. You know, I've had some folks come in and say, "Wow, it just seems like everybody has known each other for years." A lot of them have. But even at that, you've done a good job of opening up and receiving new people, visitors that have come in, accepting and loving. I've had a few folks say, well, I feel like there's cliques. Well, can't say that there isn't times that it may not feel that way. But anyone that who has ever pressed even a little bit, as those doors are usually wide open. I am so grateful, so thankful for this body, for this church, as inputted into me, that has encouraged me to go to that next level. Are you ready to go? You've got a purpose to do it. There may be a few more folks here in a shirt and tie next week, doing things a little bit differently. As our eldership is coming to prepare to receive communion, whole communication has to do with sharing of feelings from two sides. From two sides. Now that can be a relationship with God, and He can share His feelings and His emotions with you. Or that can be with your spouse, but it's sharing of those feelings. You know what? How many have ever been hurt before in a relationship? Those hurts happen. You know what you have a tendency to do? Lock down. Not share again because you don't want to get hurt again. Can't do that. Got to open back up. See, Christ went and He paid the ultimate price in hurt. See, I could give an altar call of who needs to come and stand before Him and be prayed to go to that next level in relationships and wholeness. And more than likely, it could be everybody coming down. But what Christ did on the cross is He gave it all so that we could have it all. So you already have, because of Him, if you've accepted Him, all that you need. It's just a matter of stepping into it. So I want communion for you to be just a little bit different this morning. If you would, stand. See, when we take the bread and we take this cup, we will take on a body that was broken for us and a blood that was shed for us for the forgiveness of everything, of all of our sins. The moment you've taken this morning, you will not be able to be any cleaner, fresher, more spotless than at that moment. And I'm using it today as a launch for me. Pastor Biernish said this is a year of launching. I'm using it as a launch. And I'm going to the next level in relationships and communication. And I'm going to continue in that journey. What do you need to launch into today? Think about that as you come and receive your elements. the summer in the children's department as superheroes. I even hear there may be an actual superhero that may show up sometime this summer. That'll be kind of cool. But let me tell you what a superhero is. A superhero is somebody that does something that just is a little bit above the norm. And each and every one of you can be that superhero. When you take whatever it is that you need God to do in your life to that next level. So Father God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken on the cross. Lord, we take and we receive that today. Lord, your blood that was spilled, that was poured out. We thank you, Lord, that today we have a fresh start. We thank you today, Lord God, that we can launch, be launched, Father, Lord, into that that you would have us to do. And we receive that today, God. You may be seated. As our ushers are coming this morning to receive our morning tithes and offerings and alms, I don't ever want to take for granted that anybody knows what that is, but tithe is the first tenth of what God has given to you that you give back to Him. Offering is anything above that. And alms, it's a biblical term. You go, well, what is alms? We use those funds to give to help those that are in time of need. We support the soup kitchen, the food pantry, the Spalding Samaritans, which does utility relief here in this community, Rushton Hope. All of that is done through the alms. All of the food that we purchase, we're averaging about $500 a month spending on purchasing food to be able to produce that at the Rushton Hope. And it's your faithfulness in giving that allows us to do that. How do I give alms, or how do I give tithe? Well, you can just put it at the bottom of your check. If you write a check, you can put tithes, or you can put alms, or you can combination of whatever those might be. If you give online, there's a place that you can do that if you prefer to do it that way. If you use cash, you can put it in an envelope. There's envelopes at the back of the room or out in the foyer. You can designate it on there. And thank you for your faithfulness. Father, Lord, we thank you for this tithes and offerings and alms. Thank you, Lord, that you'll multiply that. Lord, the funds that came in from the hard work of the yard sale and the chicken queue, Father, Lord, that those, Lord, will go to the furtherment of your kingdom, touching people's lives. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
Right quick, but we get the opportunity to, some of us get to go up to the youth after we do our praise and worship here and go up there and get to lead for the youth on Sunday. So we've started this thing where Sunday mornings the youth gets to go up there. So if you guys have any youth, middle school or high school that want to come and join on Sundays, we've been doing that. And there's a lot of activities throughout the summer, so just check that out. If y'all want to stand, we're going to worship.